What's up, you guys? My name's Aisha.
And my name's Della.
And today, you are listening to our latest episode of Your Local Brown Girl Podcast. And I only sang the end of it, and that's, like, my new resolution, is to only sing part of it. Because, I'm gonna be honest, people aren't liking it when I sing the intro. The reviews aren't great. But it's okay. Reviews. I have 4 stars right now on the podcast. I don't know what I did.
They heard the singing, they were like immediately.
I feel like that's what it was.
Yeah.
But we have a new guest today, Della. Yeah, introduce yourself.
Hi. I'm 16. I'm going to my junior year of high school. I mean senior year.
Yeah.
Not junior year.
No longer a junior. No, you're a big junior. Girl now, girl.
Thank goodness.
And you're
I'm a vegan.
You're wearing green pants and she's a vegan. Pants.
Yeah.
And she, you know what I'm talking about when I say she's a vegan. She's a vegan. Like, she brings her own salad to parties and eats it in front of people.
That's a little mean.
And I can't then when have people. The pizza. Okay, but that's exactly what she did.
I know it's what I did.
And then when people are like, why are you eating salad? She's like, oh, it's because I'm a vegan.
Any opportunity to bring it up.
It's a really fun personality trait that Della
has. It's a really fun thing that Aisha makes fun of me for.
Yeah, and I think you deserve that. And
I do, a little
bit. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful interaction.
Yeah.
We're joined by my cat, Luna, as always. So she'll just be running around, exploring the room, and distracting us. But today's topic is very interesting because we have the vegan in the house. Sustainability, specifically surrounding, like, fast fashion.
Yeah, and clothing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, very much... Honestly, every episode of this podcast, it just feels like I'm delving into another part of, like, something that social media has exaggerated, exuberated.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, well, social media kind of delves into, like, everything in our lives.
Yeah. So kind of... Very weird. Like, honestly, at this point, this is a TikTok podcast. Like, every single episode, TikTok gets brought up, like, so consistently.
That's an AP Gov. It was, like, every time we'd have a conversation, it would go back to social TikTok. Media. Yeah, or TikTok.
And, like, it was the same thing for, like, Corona, when Corona first started happening. God. Like, everything on this podcast was about Corona. Remember when people, like, didn't even want to say it? I'm getting off topic, but, like, people are like, you don't know, like, the virus is... Oh my god, Luna! Yeah, she does that a lot. Anyways,
she's under the covers, guys.
The cat is making her home. So, we want to talk about fast fashion, and we want to talk about not just, like, our thoughts on it, but, like, actual ways to avoid the responsibility of fast fashion, and at the same time, take your own piece of responsibility, because, like... Personally, I feel like all the media that's out there right now is kind of just saying that, like, if you participate in fast fashion, you are a clothing demon and you deserve to rot in clothing hell. And, like, that's not the truth. Like, you are a consumer and you're a victim to the model of consumerism that we have right now. Like, you are... The goal of fast fashion companies is to make you feel like you need to continue buying the clothing that you're... you know, constantly buying. So it's working for them. Like, they're doing tactics on you. They're manipulating you. And so I don't think it's fair to 100% blame the consumer, but I do think there's, like, things that we can do to take more responsibility. Mm-hmm. Do you want to, like, talk more about what fast fashion is and, like, your own thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, there's, like, as you were talking about with, like, those videos that are, like, completely anti, like, there's kind of a spectrum there because there's, like, the people that, like, like, absolutely, like, no fast fashion, like, you know better, and things like that, which, I mean, in parts I agree with it, but it's difficult to completely avoid it, especially when a lot of these companies that are participating in this, like, unethical practice or this over-consuming practice of manufacturing,
surrounding you.
Yeah, it's just, like, you never know where it is. Like, companies that you thought were doing great, that were saying they were doing great, and are actually, like, exploiting people and overproducing, using surplus of fossil fuels.
Just like what a company says they're doing really means nothing.
Yeah. And yeah.
So that's like, who do you trust?
And then there's also, but like the other spectrum of like that of like those videos is like there's people with like $500 Shein hauls that are like really kind of like doing a little too much for me.
A little too much. It's like,
especially when you have $500, like you could spend that on like a few pieces of ethical clothing that are gonna last a while, that you aren't gonna throw away in 2 weeks when it goes out of style.
Exactly.
And I think like revolving these clothes kind of around, like, they're easy to break, of course, and then revolving them around the current trend, like absolute current to the T, like,
yeah.
In a few months, you're not going to want these anymore.
Let's talk about trend cycles. What are your thoughts on trend cycles? Do you follow them at all?
Kind of not really.
Okay, because when you think about it, like, us two, we're both young women. I'm a young woman of color. You're a vegan. We both hit, like, very key. She's white. That was my way of saying you're vegan. Like, you're a vegan.
Veganism was actually originated by, like, people of color and, like,
I know, which makes it that much whiter that you guys took it.
I'm so sorry.
It's so accurate. But, like, I barely have white people on the YLBG podcast. So, like, you're breaking some boundaries thank there, you. Girl. Thank you so much for giving my people this platform. Yeah, I'm happy to do it. But, like, trans cycles, we're, like, the key demographic for them. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And I feel
they
like...
target us.
Yeah, exactly. Like, young women, we are always, like... I think the entire societal perception of young women is, like, very disposable, and that applies to trend cycles. Like, they're very much disposable. So, like, how do you navigate them, like, as a high schooler yourself?
I think it's, like, impossible to avoid, like, scrolling through social media. Obviously, everyone has social media, and I think it's impossible to avoid, like, the new trends in fashion, the new people saying, like, let's reinvent our lives and do this. Every 2 weeks, they want to reinvent themselves as someone new, and it's, like... And it's just, like, these companies, they see that, and, like, the way they make profit is they exploit that want to renew themselves.
Right,
or,
they
like,
capitalize on
Luna.
It.
And it's just, like, that's the only way they're making profits, and so, obviously, like, that's, we're gonna be targeted for that, and then in a few weeks when it goes away, like...
It's
like,
gone.
What are those clothes going to do now?
And we know what they do now. They go to landfills, and they don't decompose because they're made of mostly plastics because, like you said, they're poorly made. But I feel like that's where the disconnect comes from. Like, a good analogy is, like, the Save the Turtles movement.
Oh, my God. It turned into a joke.
Straws. It turned into a huge joke because, like, people were so disconnected from it. Like, it's very easy to, like, see videos... and I think this is also relates to veganism. Like, a big reason why people aren't able to, like, see themselves become vegan is because they see videos of environmental impacts. And it is actually, like, so genuinely catastrophic that it doesn't connect, especially in the West. In the West, we're very much on a different spectrum from our media. I was born in Pakistan, and for us, it's a third world country. So when we saw bombings in the news, they were happening in our cities. And compared to here in America, when you see bombings in the news, they're happening overseas. And so that's like, oh, okay, this is something that's happening far away from me.
The kinds of things you see in, like, movies or textbooks.
Exactly. That's the only place you have an interaction with it. You don't have any first-hand interaction with it. So it's just like that with environmental issues, especially environmental issues, because the environment and, like, the world feels so much bigger than just you as one person. So when you see, like, thousands of animals going through crazy, crazy shit treatment in treatment plants, or when you see thousands and thousands of pounds of clothing going to landfills, you can't help but, like, separate yourself as an individual from that because it feels so overwhelming to take any part of that responsibility.
And the way that, like, with the Save the Turtles movement, like, of course it was important. Like, reducing your plastic waste is absolutely important, but the way that that was kind of taken and used as a weapon to force women into, like, these molds and these stereotypes of, like, I don't know, summer
Visco
2019,
girls.
Visco girl, like, Save the Turtles, like, it became a huge joke and a meme when it was actually something truly, truly important, and that's definitely where the disconnect is, that, like, people are able to take something that actually means something and turn it into kind of just, like, oh, like, a stereotype, like, oh, like, she's just a girl, like...
And separate themselves from it. And, like,
it's
as soon as they get criticized, they can just call it satire.
Yeah, and it's a way to not take accountability for these things that people are doing to the environment, and that's... Where, like, fast fashion comes into play, like, when people do these hauls and they, like, do it to gain popularity on social media when they show off their $500 Shein or, like, Zoffle or...
Zara. Fashion Nova.
Yeah, those big hauls, like, they use it as a way to gain popularity, and then by, like, doing it so that they can just say, like, oh, I just wanted to do what everyone else was doing, that's a way that they can take away accountability from themselves.
Exactly. It's very easy to, like... separate yourself from it. It's super easy. You can say that it's satire. I'm just kidding. Obviously, I care about turtles, but I'm not allowed to make a joke about something once in a while. It's like, you can joke about whatever you want. I joke about Visco girls. I do all that shit, but at the same time, I take accountability for my own responsibilities with the environment. You know what I mean? So, like, and even environmental, like, issues, they need to be consumable. So it's like a paradox. So like Save the Turtles, that whole movement was centered around don't use straws because turtles can choke on them.
Yeah.
And that completely ignores a way bigger issue in the plastics industry. And also, like, straws are not the biggest issue at all by like any means. And like turtles, I'm pretty sure they choke more on other things than they do on straws.
It's just like an easier way to do it. It's more palatable.
Exactly. It's way more palatable. It's way easier to understand because you see a straw and you imagine a small animal choking on it. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's bad. Let me cut up the straw before I throw it away. Or let me only use reusable straws. Mm-hmm. But when you see a piece of clothing and you're told, hey, this cute top that you're seeing is also taking 500 more liters of water than it needs to, and it's going to go into a landfill, and it's being made by a child that is in a production plant that doesn't want to be there.
Yeah,
that is just not something you can grasp the way you can grasp a turtle choking on a straw.
Yeah.
But that's, we're not expecting people to take accountability for capitalism, you know, like just because you're a teenage girl does not mean that, and you maybe shop at Zara, does not mean that you need to feel guilty for like sweatshops that are making those clothing,
especially in places that are like super inexpensive, when you don't have the money to afford and you don't have the time to go thrifting, you don't have the time to like make clothes yourself, and those are things that you can afford. Like, there's no, like, sometimes that's what you have to do.
Absolutely.
And that's no like blaming those people for what's happening, but like it's the people that can't afford to do better and don't.
Yeah, and that's what the system sustains on, is when you shame poor people for shopping where they can afford instead of shaming the companies that are putting them in that position. Because I don't think that anyone who can shop or who can only shop at H&M or Zara or whatever should stop doing that by any means. I don't think that
Zara's expensive for no reason.
No, literally. I was surprised to find out Zara is fast fashion. I didn't realize it until I did more research, and I was like, really? Because, like, I felt like I only associated, like, Fashion Nova, Forever 21, stuff, H&M, like, stuff like that. But, yeah, Zara's a big fast fashion, like, distributor. And when we take people that can't afford to be going to, like, Tommy Hilfiger, Tom Ford, like, upper class brands, because those brands are starting to follow fast fashion cycles themselves, because fast fashion companies are the most growing industry. Like, in the past 15 years, H&M, their sales have grown exponentially. Comparatively, if you look at, like, I don't even know, what is a non-fast fashion brand? Like, if you look at MAC or something like that, they have not grown nearly at the size that H&M has. Like, in the fashion industry, fast fashion has dominated. And that's why other companies are seeing what they're doing and they're wanting to follow along, because poor people can afford these clothings. I don't even want to say poor people. I want to say middle-class people can afford these clothings. When we talk about poor people, let's talk about, you know, secondhand clothing shops.
Yeah.
Because
people doing huge hauls on those that have a lot of money and then reselling them for double the price.
Let's talk about, like, that greenwashing. So, like, you shop secondhand way more than I do. I just don't shop, period. I just buy things and then I keep them for a long time.
Yeah, I keep my clothes for a long time, too. But when I do need to buy something, I'd rather purchase it secondhand. I understand that, like, there's obviously, like, there's going to be downsides to everything. And often I feel guilty for, like, taking things away from other people. That's why I try to shop in, like, areas that look more picked through, or like I try to go at the end of like the cycle when they like put new clothes back in the store, just so I get things that are like left behind.
Yeah,
because I don't want to be taking like the opportunity for someone to look better.
Yeah,
or like someone to have clothes that like I can afford personally, you know.
No, absolutely. Like, if we break down the hierarchy of consumerism shopping when it comes to clothes, is there's secondhand, which is the cheapest, and then there's secondhand online, which can be a lot more expensive, and then there's, I guess, the fast fashion brands, you could kind of call them, a lot of the stuff that you find at the mall, stuff like that. And then there's, I don't even know if you would refer to them as like designer, but like designer fashion. And then there's high class fashion, which is like runway fashion. And basically the way fast fashion works is they model what's on the runway and they sort of rip it off, but like in legal ways. And I just think that there's a lot of hypocrisy, because this hierarchy is built for just to make as much money as possible, right? everyone has needs that they can get serviced. If you want cute clothes and you can't afford them, you can go to fast fashion. If you want cute clothes and you can't afford, or you can afford them, you can go to high class fashion. Mm-hmm. If you want cute clothes and you want to look like you're also being, you know, sustainable, you can go to a thrift shop. Like, whatever your needs are, you can supplement them. But when people start getting upset, like Kim Kardashian, for example, she had like this Instagram post about a dress she wore on a runway, and then 2 days later, not even like a day later, Fashion Nova came out with a dress that looked exactly like it, mm-hmm. so quickly on a model, everything, for a fifth of the price. And I don't think that that's okay at all.
Yeah.
But for Kim Kardashian to go on her Instagram and bash Fashion Nova for recycling her design, or not even her design, but recycling her clothing
yeah.
at a fifth of the price, and like claim that fast fashion is this big demon, as if she's not a big cog in the machine that makes fast fashion go. Yeah. Like, if it wasn't for influencers like the Kardashians, there wouldn't be trend cycles like the ones that we have currently. Like, there would be trend cycles, but they wouldn't be moving nearly as fast.
Well, and like Fashion Nova is one of those brands, I believe, like Kylie Jenner is huge. Like, she's like, she advertises them all the time. Huge
person for them. When you think of Fashion Nova, you think of Jenner.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, and especially since they have those, like, perfect bodies that model those clothes, like the minute, especially since Kylie Jenner is this billionaire, like, she can afford these clothes, and you know she's not wearing Fashion Nova on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
So for
not
her to be like, you want to look like me, like, here's a way cheaper option, like, of course people are going to be like, oh,
she's wearing it for her ads, yeah. and then that's it. Like, she's not wearing it in her day-to-day life. She's wearing it when she can profit off of it, mm-hmm. and then it goes into a landfill.
Yeah.
And
that's go ahead.
What were you gonna say, Della?
Well, I was just gonna say, like, then people, like the over-consuming, I believe we mm-hmm. touched on this before, but, like, when people, like, buy, like, clothes every day or, like, every few weeks, or people say they have this, like, shopping addiction or this spending problem, like, I think that's, like, a lot worse than, like, people are actually making it out to be.
Absolutely.
Like, people are pretending, like, it's, like, this quirky, fun addiction, like, ooh, like, I'm buying new clothes every day, someone stop me.
Yeah.
But it's, like, also at the same time, like, do they realize what they're doing?
Yeah, and I think that brings us to, like, a poison that's really easy to address here, which mm-hmm. is, and we were talking about this earlier, there's a lot of, I don't want to call them kids, they're our age, Gen Z. There's a lot of Gen Z that are very financially well off, but find themselves in thrift stores, find themselves in secondhand shops, and kind of what you were describing earlier, there are downsides to everything, but instead of taking thrift stores and secondhand shops as like another option, they're using it as a money-making revenue. Like, yeah. they're going there, they're finding things that they think are cute, that are fitting trend cycles, because right now they're vintage trend cycles, mm-hmm. very much 90s, Y2K, yeah. stuff that's in Goodwill right now because mm-hmm. your grandma is getting rid of it.
Their grandma's getting rid of her Y2K.
Listen, Grammy had her Y2K era. She had her Paris era. Let her live. She had her hot pink, and now she's ready to retire it. And you go there and you find something for not even, like, $2, and you can rip mm-hmm. it off on Depop for, like, $75.
Vintage Y2K tank.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Hot, sexy, Hello Kitty.
Message me for details.
Baby tee, mm-hmm. baby doll. Like,
literally toddler clothing.
No, literally. And it's just, like, a onesie for yeah. an actual child. And you're like, okay, I don't think this is a baby tee.
They maybe, like, cut off the ends.
No, literally. Cropped baby tee.
One size, like, bodysuit.
Bro, this Granny is Mongo. Actually a baby tee. Like, this was for a baby, dude.
This was for a child.
Like, this was a child's onesie. And then they,
like, there's a bib on it.
And there's a bib. The baby wore this. And there was absolutely no effort in that entire process where you sold it on Depop to recognize, who am I taking this away from? Like, an yeah. actual baby.
Yeah.
Like, whose baby that can't afford $50 baby clothing?
It needs the $2.99.
No, it needs the $2 clothing yeah. from Goodwill. Who are you taking that away from? And then continuing to profit off of it for yourself? That's not a business, Stacey.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a business. Like, you sound like a landlord. This is not a business. This is unsustainable.
Saying, like, no ethical consumption under capitalism, and then going and being the capitalist.
Exactly. Like,
There's like, no excuse for that.
It's extremely pathetic to use that as an excuse because I have friends and I'm scared. Because, like, I'm probably going to post this clip on TikTok and this is going to be the part they see. But I have friends that are left-minded, and a lot of Gen Z is this way. They're left-minded, but they're well, like, they're very well off. Mm-hmm. And it's not, they haven't entered the workforce or anything like that. It's not their money. It's their parents' money. Well off, you can be well off left or right, all right? It's very much the way consumerism works. Money is doesn't care what your political party is.
Yeah.
So they have this moral compass that follows specific rules, and they have these social media influencers that are telling them to, you know, fight for the environment, and they are double tapping Greta Thunberg on Instagram. They're doing everything that they think they should be doing. Sorry. But then I love Greta. But then they're making the active choice to shop every single weekend, Aerie, American Eagle, Hollister, literally off their asses, buying shit tons of clothing, and then using that exact quirky response as you were talking about earlier. I'm addicted to shopping.
Shopaholic.
Exactly. Or like every time one of my friends has a vacation, she goes to the mall and buys clothes for the vacation. There's and that's no not need. Even weird. The like most, that's a normal thing for kids in upper class suburbs to do. And these kids, I can't even blame them because the social media that they're consuming and the media that they're constantly, you know, being talked to is telling them, hey, if you're repeating outfits on your Instagram, that's kind of pathetic. Yeah. Or, hey, if you're not... Oh my God, Luna, please. Luna hates fast fashion. Luna will attack fast fashion with her claws. She's literally attacking us.
She's doing a puppet show.
She is doing a puppet show. She's having a fun time over there. But they're being fed this consistent message that unique is what is in. Like, unique one time, one wear, and that's it. And honestly, I don't think I've seen my friends repeat outfits, period. They make fun of me when I repeat outfits. And it's just because I don't think that they comprehend that they are playing a very big role in that system. I don't think they're to blame for the system whatsoever, but I do think that with that amount of money and still being able to understand that moral privilege that you have to wake up.
Yeah.
You have to be somewhat self-aware. Mm-hmm. And you have to step away from your wallet.
And not just with, like, the repeating outfits, but also with, like, the maybe wearing the same shirt 2 days in a row. Like, people get mad about that, but, like, if I only wore that shirt for, like,
I have a little washing bit machine.
Day, like, yeah, also that, but also, like, washing clothes, like, is also damaging to the environment. And maybe a shirt doesn't need to be washed if you only wore it for a little bit right after you showered, and then you wear it the next day. Like, why is that so demonized?
And let's answer that question. Why is that so demonized? Because who benefits when you wash your clothes a shit ton, or when you, you know, have this purity culture, which that's what I like to call it, because it's very specific in the West, and I'm gonna like refer to upper class suburbs because that's like where Della and I grew up mostly. In upper class suburbs, this purity culture, it's very much, it panders to white supremacy, and it panders to this ideal of cleanliness that benefits one specific industry of people, rich people. So for example, when it comes to clothes, like you were saying, like wearing a shirt one time, and then if you don't wash that shirt, or if you, if someone says, hey, did you wear that yesterday? Like that, I kind of feel like I recognize that.
Like,
that
shame.
Exactly. Yeah. Shame is associated with dirtiness, or like showering. For some reason, you know, bringing up your showering, like not techniques, but like your showering schedule is like a thing in high school, and being like, oh, you don't wash your hair every day. Like it's like,
oh, you shower in the mornings.
Exactly. And like
Emma Chamberlain getting canceled for saying that she didn't like showering once. Or did she even say that?
I don't know. Exactly.
This huge joke about her, like, because she didn't shower. Like,
or telling people, oh, you don't, or saying that you see people online that you think, you know, oh, they're funny, they're stupid, whatever. They look like they don't shower. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's a very specific insult. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with, you know, using your own, I don't know how to say it, vocabulary, I guess, or using your own language, your own Gen Z way of saying things. Yeah. I say that like I'm not in Gen Z, but you can talk however you want, but to not recognize your responsibilities when you're saying shit like that
is
very messed up. Exactly.
It doesn't matter if it's masked by like slang or like just saying like, well, everyone's saying it, like, haha, like an insult is an insult, and like catering to this, like, purity complex, as mm-hmm. you were saying, like, that's something that you need to take accountability for regardless of the way you're saying it.
Yeah, and I say it panders to white supremacy, because when we look at who these people that look quote-unquote musty are, they're very much people of color.
They're always people of color.
And if they're not people of color, they're white people that are trying to capitalize off of characteristics that people of color have, like, whoa, mm-hmm. Vicky, she's literally one of the few white, or Bad Baby, two of the few white people that you see that people are like, oh, they look musty, they look like they don't shower, and it's like, well, they're also known for capitalizing off of black culture.
Wearing box braids right now, like,
exactly. So you have to, like, wonder, like, if those are the only white people that you think look dirty, then what about it is dirty to you? Mm-hmm. Because I know it's not their whiteness. So is it the blackness they're trying to capitalize off of?
Yeah.
You have to ask yourself those questions, because you can make those jokes offhand and not even realize it. And they even play a huge role in this. Like, Bad Baby, Bo Vicky, they're like, aren't they Fashion Nova, like, icons? Like, that's literally what their whole closet is.
They're always wearing some sort of, like, Fashion Nova green jumpsuit.
Exactly. Or, like, they have their music videos, like, sponsored by Fashion mm-hmm. Nova. And it's like, you have to realize that when you're buying from these brands, you're supporting people like that, right?
Yeah, and usually fast fashion is capitalizing off of the culture of people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's absolutely always what it is, because that's always... those are the people that the trends are always surrounding.
Yeah.
It's always stealing culture and then capitalizing off of it. So turning culture into this sort of money-making machine, like fossil fuel using, fast assembly line, mm-hmm. child exploiting just method, is just, it's disgusting.
Exactly. It's an exercise of privilege.
Yeah. And then when those things go out of style after like...
a week.
Yeah, after a week, then people make fun of, like, people of color when they're just expressing their culture.
Exactly.
And they're like, that was a trend, like, a year ago. Like, oh, it's yeah, been yeah. a trend for them, their entire culture.
For their literally thousands of years.
For their ancestors.
If, for example, the concept of ghetto, a lot of the clothing mm-hmm. that's on Fast Fashion Networks now was considered ghetto in, like, 2012, mm-hmm. right? But... the thing is, when black people wear clothing that is not been culturally appropriated yet, it's considered ghetto. And the second that a white person puts it on, then it's suddenly become, like, a movement.
Like, wow. Like, that looks amazing. I've never seen that before.
Right.
Like,
we can talk about matte mm-hmm. lipstick. That was... Kylie Jenner did not invent matte lipstick. I can tell you that right now. And when we talk about bodysuits, black women were in bodysuits before anyone else was. But then Fashion Nova took over bodysuits, and now mm-hmm. they're, like, the most common fast fashion item.
Or, like, bandanas as tops. Like, Hispanic women were doing that forever.
Forever. Hoops. Like, we don't even need to think twice before we have any sort of responsibility in our clothing, because everyone else is doing it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's when we need to, like, take a step back and think, okay, what's my individual... I don't even want to say responsibility so much as, like, what's my individual take? Like, what am I as an individual yeah. feeling about what I'm doing? Because it's okay to know that you are a victim to this system, because you are. And mm-hmm. it's not fair to think that you being born had anything to do with the system.
Yeah.
Like, when you were a baby, people were still cycling these clothings in and out. And it's not going to stop after you die either. Mm-hmm. So when you think about, okay, if I can't afford to shop anywhere else and I'm not really supposed to go shop secondhand, say I do go to Zara and I buy clothing, like, fine, what's wrong with that? Buy the clothing you want to buy, but wear it.
Yeah.
The problem that we're having with fast fashion is the fast part. It's the speed of it all.
Yeah.
It cycles in and out so exuberantly. And I feel like you can speak on this, especially being, like, a high school student. Mm-hmm. Like, the clothing that people wear in high school is very much trend-centric. High school more than other places. Like, high school is, you know, the epitome of, like, where fashion mm-hmm. designers... I don't want to say designers, but, like, fashion moguls, like the CEOs mm-hmm. of these companies... that's where they're trying to capitalize, because that's money making.
And it used to be that, like, those big designers were the ones building the trends, but now it's just everyday people building the trends or stealing trends mm-hmm. in the case that we were just talking about. And so I think, like, the race to get clothing out that mirrors those trends so that you can make money cuts so many corners, and that's where the fast part comes from. It's when they want to get it in these high schoolers' hands. They want these high schoolers wearing these because mm-hmm. they know, like, this is what's trendy right now. This is what they'll wear right now. They don't do it ethically at all, because it's more important, the profit's way more important.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Like, money mm-hmm. is the end goal there. So, and then that counts for the consumer too. Like, when you think about what costs money, like, a good example is Patagonia. How much is, like, a Patagonia zip up?
God, I don't even know.
It's like $50, right? Something like that. It's a pretty mm-hmm. expensive brand, but they're also like one of the few brands that are known for being sustainable mm-hmm. and for like not just greenwashing their company, like being genuine about it.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna buy a Patagonia. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna buy a zip up for $50. Are you serious?
I think they have like a secondhand part on their right. website, which is kind of nice. But at the same time, like. The way to, like, sustainable things are often so expensive, or, like, compared to their fast fashion counterparts, it's just, like,
it's not comparable for yeah. the average consumer.
It's a crazy way, like, you look at it, and you're just like, oh my gosh, and so you don't even want to buy the more ethical, the more ethical one, because you're like, well, why would I do that when this one's about $40 cheaper?
Right, and it's fulfilling the same needs that I needed to fulfill.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a mom of three. I'm not shopping for my kids right now trying to decide, what's Jimmy gonna like tomorrow, and what's Andrew gonna wear next week? It's, what do I want to look hot, you know? And it's like, okay, it's $5, then it's $5. But, like, $5 now is a lot more in the long term.
Well, yeah. And, like, I was going to talk about how you want to have more items in your cart. Like, when, right.
Like that need.
When you buy two items at Patagonia and let's compulsion, say it's $100. Yeah. Or when you buy 15 items or 20 items mm-hmm. at Shein and it's $100. And you feel more fulfilled by those 20 items being in your cart than those two items. Even though those two items are going to last you 3 years longer, right. You're gonna wear them way more often. They're gonna be warmer. When you want to give them away, they're gonna sell more to someone who needs them.
Yeah.
Versus those 20 items are gonna break
immediately.
They're gonna
rip. Right.
Yeah, and it's just like, but people want to fulfill that compulsory need they have to just buy more yeah. and consume more.
It's a compulsion that's like fed by influencers, because when we look at what is hot on YouTube with our demographic, it's always gonna be sending that message of more is more, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's yeah. not, it's a culture that's always going to be propped up by YouTubers with full to the brim closets.
Yeah.
Like, even more so, like, just these hauls of, like, I like to call it clothing binging, because you almost black out and you buy as much as you can because of the price. Like, you don't need to buy something just because it's cheap, but yeah. because of this binging complex that we've all adopted.
All the sales.
Right. Things. It's yeah. like, sales aren't sales, you guys. Like, I'm going to be honest
that's
with
what they
you.
Should use. That's what the price should be.
Right. Like, that's, if you think that they're not making the same amount of money off of you that they were before the sale, then you're mistaken. But, you know, I think when you analyze the hierarchy of fashion, like that fast fashion, secondhand fashion, Depop world, and you analyze, okay, what's my part in it? There's something you can do, right? Mm-hmm. If you can afford fast fashion, or if you can only afford fast fashion, I should say, that's fine. Hold on to your pieces and take care of them and keep yeah. them for longer. If you can only afford secondhand, but you don't think that you should be, you know, taking advantage of the secondhand market because there's other people in that market that aren't as well off as you, then do what Della said. Shop at the end of cycles, or be more mindful about which secondhand shops you're choosing. Don't mm-hmm. go to secondhand shops in areas that have a lower income than
literally.
You.
Literally.
Don't go out of your way to be an asshole.
Yeah. Like go if you know like a good like middle class, upper middle class, like suburban area that has a thrift store smack dab in the middle of it, that's probably a better place to shop than one in an area that has a huge homeless population.
Exactly. And people are doing that, and then yeah. they're reselling that. And if you are shopping at thrift stores, reselling what you're buying at thrift stores is not sustainable, and it's not good for the environment, and you're not doing what you think you're doing when you do that.
Prioritizing your own profit over the needs
of
other people. Yeah.
So I think that's where it begins and ends. Just mm-hmm. analyze your own responsibility, because right now we're not. Right now we're just giving up the whole of responsibility with fast fashion to fast fashion companies. And we're saying, hey, listen, this is way bigger than me. Mm-hmm. Whether or not some kid in Afghanistan is putting together this $10 baby tee top, or, you know, whether or not Kylie Jenner is making millions and millions of dollars off of this clothing item that she's going to throw away, that's bigger than me. And I'm just a kid. Like, let me live my life.
I'm just a kid with a shopping addiction.
And it's easier. It's easier than taking on the entire capitalist complex.
It's easier to complain about, like, a bug being in your Shein package than complaining about the work that went into creating these Shein clothes you're going to wear.
Absolutely. So when you assign that individual responsibility, and when you do better, when you choose to not binge the way that you have been, I can't make you, but I can say that there is a really, really, really big cost benefit there.
Yeah, can't make you, but I can ask you really nicely.
Right, and I can't say that I'm not, you know, I don't shop that often. I'm just not great with clothes in general. Like, I don't really have what the kids call style. I just wear what's comfy. I'm one of those people. But let's think about why I do that. I'm a plus-size woman, and fast fashion, what's beautiful about it is that it is one of the most size inclusive industries in the fashion world right now. Like, if you look at that hierarchy, secondhand clothing, there's very little plus size fashion there. High class clothing, very little plus size fashion there. But when you look at H&M, when you look at Zara, that's where plus size Fashion Nova, plus size fashion is so accessible in these arenas. So we have to ask ourselves, I'm taking my responsibility, but these companies are putting me in this position. So there's a balance there for sure. And approaching that balance is just, it's, I don't even want to say that it's like, it's easy to do because it's easier said than done, but it's a responsibility.
Yeah.
I've said that word a lot.
That's okay.
But it is.
We don't have a thesaurus with us right now.
We don't have a thesaurus. Oh, Luna's laying down. She's having a good old time. Luna's like, yeah, fat girls get to have clothing too. So, but you know your own situation. You know, if you're a plus size woman of color and you genuinely feel like, hey, I don't think this applies to me. Maybe it doesn't, you know? But if you are someone who's been reselling clothing on Depop and you have been cropping every other t-shirt you find in there, you kind of, you're a war criminal. Stop! You don't need the money! Like, you do not need the money.
Go ask your parents for something.
Literally, go ask your parents! And we're, like, talking to a very specific age group right now, but that's what this podcast does. Like, this podcast is not meant for middle-aged people, which they listen to it. I've seen my demographics. Hey, Mom. But at the end of the day, we're the biggest targeted demographic.
Absolutely. And we're who the companies are. Oh, my... Girl!
She's going crazy. Luna's eating her feet.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, girl,
Luna's doing a little much right now, but
Luna doesn't wear clothes. She's not a victim to capitalism.
I just feel like, oh my god, girl. Oh my gosh. I need to get my keys away from her. But I just wanted to end it by saying, like, I think, as you were saying, once you take responsibility and you observe your situation and understand what you're doing and know if this is talking about you or not. Like, I think that's just the most important thing that you can do.
Luna's having a blast.
She's literally biting me. I don't know why she's doing that. I think that's the most important thing that you can do at this age, because it's not like you can tackle the whole company, but you can at least be mindful of what you're doing.
You can understand your choices and the impacts they have.
Yeah. And once you do that and you actually, like, you stop that disconnect between the things that are happening and your own existence, and you actually take time to understand that, I think it'll be easier to make more sustainable choices towards a better future.
Understanding that disconnect and making small but mighty steps is definitely, like, the way to go. And, you know, this is not coming from a judgmental stance, except for when I said that selling clothing on Depop is a war crime.
That is 100% me being judgmental.
That is messed up. But everyone else... You are not to blame for the situation you're in right now. But if you educate yourself on the situation, aka listen to this podcast, and you continue to choose to not to be to blame for that, you continue to keep your head under the sand.
Good luck, Charlie.
Good luck, Charlie. But yeah, so
no copyright.
Keeping that in mind, I feel like that's a good place to stop for today. because what else are we supposed to do? I mean, we don't got the CEO of Zara here.
Responsibility.
JK, yes we do. The CEO of Zara is here to speak to us.
Gonna talk about their greenwashing.
Their greenwashing. And honestly, that's our next episode. So stick around to hear, what's the CEO of Zara's name?
I don't know.
Stick around to hear Mr. Zara himself speak on greenwashing.
It's definitely a man.
It's definitely a man. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode.
And thank you for having me.
Oh my God, Della. Thank you for coming on. Della's going to be on every episode from now on, you guys. She won't even be talking. She'll just be in the room.
I'll just be with Luna.
She'll be with Luna getting bitten. But thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. My name's Aisha.
My name's Della.
And you just listened to another episode of Your Local Brown Girl podcast. Have a great rest of your day, guys.
Bye.